This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
I'm your big daddy, and I want to be referred to as such.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
It's not fair.
I'm an Andrew Gunling fan.
Just take the L.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's Andrew Gunling.
You couldn't possibly understand the hurt.
Oh, that's right. Andrew Gunling in for Peter Rosenberg tonight on ENN, which is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico has been perfecting both for over 75 years. Don, what's up? How are you?
Who are you taking out?
Classic Don. And Chris Canty on ENN tonight. How are you?
When you expose yourself, you're vulnerable and certain things can happen.
Well, we'll keep going here with baseball. And what was the biggest story of the day earlier today, and that was Mookie Betts finalizing a 13-year deal worth more than $380 million that's going to keep the former American League MVP from reaching free agency this winter. He'll stay a Dodger. I think technically it's a 12-year extension for $365 million. Here's Buster Olney. He says that this has been in the works for some time.
Absolute shocker around the sport about the size of this deal, to the point that, given the current context, you know, taking on that kind of debt at that kind of salary, you know, it looks like, what, 12 years and $350 million on top of what he was owed this year, there's an assumption among other teams, look, this thing must have been in the works. They must have had some sort of understanding before the pandemic hit, because the feeling is that, you know, with the change of the financial landscape this summer and what's to come this winter, because nobody knows at this moment when the vaccine's coming, when fans might be in the stands, nobody knows, you know, what the market values are going to be moving forward. And so for the Dodgers to give this kind of contract to Betts in this moment with so much uncertainty is a shocker.
In terms of overall value, this is now the second largest contract in baseball, only behind Mike Trout, who's over $426 million.
Well, you know, it's a good point, but you're talking about a former MVP, a former batting title champion. He's got a four-time Gold Glove. He's an amazing player, and he is someone that he's 26 years old. So obviously, you're talking about paying a guy until his late 30s. So he's only a year younger than Aaron Judge, and we were just talking about how I'm not sure that they would want to give that to Judge because of his age. Well, Judge is 20. Yeah, he's 28. He's 27 this year. Betts will be for the start of the season. But here's the difference: 145 games, 158 games, 153 games, 136 games, 150 games. So in an analytic world, he's playing pretty much a full season all the time. Hasn't had any kind of major injuries. But I'm with Buster. This must have been agreed upon pre-pandemic, and they probably didn't want to take it off the table and insult him. I'm wondering if, you know, if they were trying to negotiate that today, whether the contract would have been quite as lucrative. Because, Chris, you're a player. I mean, if you kind of have a handshake deal, but you just got a few things to work out, and then they pull it off the table on you, that could be very difficult for negotiations moving forward. So I'm wondering if the Dodgers are kind of a victim of the pandemic, not like fighting through it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the structure of this deal didn't come together in the last few days. This is probably something that they've been talking about, you know, going back to when the Dodgers decided to pull the trigger and make the move with the Red Sox and trade Verdugo and Downs for Mookie Betts and David Price. But I will say this, based on where their general manager has set them up, I mean, the Dodgers are in pretty good position to absorb this kind of debt on the team. I mean, you're talking about getting a Gold Glove right fielder and one of the best players in the game. So, I mean, yeah, to make this decision to add Mookie Betts and have him on a 12-year extension, I think it was a great move. I mean, the Dodgers don't have very many players under contract beyond 2021. I think it's three players. It's David Price, Max Muncy, and A.J. Pollock. So they're in pretty good financial standing. So they could afford to give an extension to a guy that was, you know, going to be the best free agent on the marketplace after this season.
Yeah, they've won seven straight division titles. They've been to two of the last three World Series. They are set up to be good for a long time. Staying with baseball here, baseball season starts tomorrow. And we still have no idea where the Toronto Blue Jays will be playing their games this season. And that is crazy to me. I feel like this is one of those stories that kind of reminds us how crazy the world is right now. Because I saw this and I was just kind of like, wow, I wonder what they're going to do. That's strange. And then I just sort of moved on because everything is nuts right now. So, like, nothing seems weird anymore. I mean, the Olympics got canceled. So, like, the Blue Jays not knowing where they're going to be playing baseball in 2 days, even that doesn't seem so strange. But they have no home. They thought they were going to be playing in Pittsburgh, and they've yet to receive any approval from the state of Pennsylvania to play home games there. So the team is now looking for alternative options, including going to each of the cities that their scheduled opponent is in and then playing there as the home team, sources have told Buster Olney today. The schedule for the Pirates and Blue Jays matched up perfectly. Aside from July 29th, they don't have any home games on the same day until September 7th. So it would have worked out. I honestly have no idea why Pennsylvania would not have okayed there to be a second team playing in Pittsburgh. I can't even really think of what that reason would be. But nevertheless, that's where they stand right now. They don't know where they're going to be playing.
I don't think is Pennsylvania isn't one of the places where it's spiking, right? I mean, they were kind of in line with us. Blue Jays' first home game is supposed to be on the 30th, so they do have, I guess, a little bit of time here, another week to figure it out. But, hey, I didn't think this was going to be as big a problem because, again, you're not playing in front of any fans. But the more I think about it, the not knowing Chris as a player. I mean, you're a week away. You're not knowing, are you going to play all your games on the road? Where are you going to be away from your family? You think you're going to be in Toronto with your family, and now you might not be with them. This has got to be a problem for a Toronto team that's not that bad. I mean, they could have been a dangerous team. I'm just wondering if this just kills their season.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're talking about a 60-game road trip, right? I mean, we're joking about it, but, I mean, they don't have a home for the season. And when we're talking about being in the middle of a pandemic, the logistics of it and all of the different protocols that you have to follow when you're traveling, I mean, that's something that could loom large over the players, and that could affect them as far as their overall mental state. You know, I mean, think about how much pressure that puts on the guys knowing that they're not going to be in one city for an extended period of time and that they're going to have to bounce from city to city in order to try to get all of these games in. That's just got to be tough for the athletes just to constantly be on the road like that.
Yeah, really weird. Another one of the bigger storylines from the season was going to be how the Astros are received. Now, unfortunately, we're not going to know how the fans will receive them, but we will get to see how their opponents receive them. And last night, in an exhibition game between Houston and Kansas City, we kind of got an indication that they are not going to be received very well. Three Astros were hit by pitches, arguably their three best players, Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, and George Springer. Altuve and Bregman were actually hit back-to-back. The two pitchers that did it were Jorge Lopez and Jackson Cowar. Now, the one thing about this, Altuve and Bregman were hit with the bases loaded, and Springer was hit with a breaking ball, so I can't definitively say that they were all intentionally hit, but I kind of think they were all intentionally hit.
Well, the breaking ball, yeah, that might not have been intentional. You're going to hit somebody. You're not hitting them with a breaking ball. Mm-hmm. What's the purpose of a breaking ball? Is not going to hurt. You want to hurt them, right? Or at least, like, send a message. But hitting him with the bases loaded in a meaningless game, I'd have no problem with that, right? I mean, it's a meaningless exhibition game. If you want to hit him, you're going to hit him. So the curveball I get, but the bases loaded, in a regular season, I'd understand. But in a preseason game, definitely intentional.
Yeah, the Astros deserve everything they're going to get this season. They deserve it all. They deserve every bit.
And they can't what's their alternative? Because they're going to get hit, right? They're going to give warnings. So if they retaliate by throwing at the other team, they're going to get probably kicked out of the game. You're not allowed to fight, so you can't even do that. Although I don't know what the punishment is. I haven't heard. Baseball's very good at, like, having rules with no punishment.
But in this kind of season, it's got to be a stricter discipline, right? Just because of the pandemic and everything going on?
Yeah, I would think so. So they can't even retaliate by charging them out. So they're just going to have to take their medicine.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Marcus Spears was on Get Up today. He said he had some concerns about the Astros being hit by opposing pitchers.
A 98-mile-an-hour fastball at a dude because he cheated could end up way worse than you planned on just getting revenge. So it was eye-opening for me to hear all of our great people talk about baseball, about guys getting hit with pitches. This is not like football where you can put on a big hit or you have beef with a guy and you want to knock him silly because he's padded up and he expects to be hit. In baseball, man, you playing with some dangerous territory if you plan on that being your revenge all season long.
Not really. That's a little bit of an exaggeration.
I'm with you on that one, Don. As much as I love my former teammate, he's wrong on that one. Because, I mean, if a pitcher decides he's going to hit a guy on the backside with a fastball, I don't know how much danger is involved in that. If you start throwing at a guy's head, then you're talking about a different story. But
throwing at his hands, throwing at his head. Getting hit in the back, getting hit in the fanny, getting hit in the hip, getting hit in the in the tricep. I mean, yeah, it hurts, but it's not going to do any long-term damage. And these pitchers kind of know what they're doing. So headhunting completely should never be thought about. Throwing behind a guy, like near anything at the head. But it's old school, right? It's the perfect retaliation. I'm going to hit you. It's going to hurt, but it's not going to do any damage. But it's going to
hurt. The players didn't get punished, Don. The players didn't get punished. So, I mean, they didn't serve their penance. If there was a situation where Major League Baseball was able to discipline the Astros that participated and actually benefited from the cheating scandal, then that would be one thing. But they didn't. So now they got to go on this shameful tour that is the 60-game regular season, and every team that they face is going to give them a piece of their mind, and that's going to be a piece of the baseball, and I have no problem with it. I'm not a fan of weaponizing the baseball, but in this particular situation, especially with this particular team costing my team an opportunity to compete for a championship not once but twice, I got a problem with that. So I have no issue with the Astros players being hit by baseballs all season long.
Don't feel bad at all.
No, not even a little bit.
Guys, the NBA returned today. Clippers beat the Magic in a scrimmage, 99-90. Lou Williams had 22 points. Nuggets beat the Wizards, 89-82. Nets are in action, actually, on the YES Network, coming up in about 40 minutes or so. At 7 o'clock, they play the Pelicans, Kings, and Heat later tonight at 8 o'clock. It's going to be a different-looking Nets team than the one we last saw in March. I mean, obviously, no Durant, no Kyrie, which we pretty much knew. But also, no Nick Claxton, DeAndre Jordan, Wilson Chandler, Torian Prince, Spencer Dinwiddie, and even Michael Beasley, who was signed as a replacement and then had to opt out after he tested positive for COVID-19. You're going to be watching them at times and have to remind yourself what team it is that you actually see out there.
But you know, I hear me out, because I don't know a lot of Net fans, but I would ask them this. Considering what's coming, a healthy Kyrie, a healthy Durant, I mean, if this has got to be what you got to go through, isn't it worth it? You know, it's not like you got those guys and you lost. I mean, it stinks that you're throwing away the season, but look what you got coming in here. Next year, they're going to be, I know Chris doesn't believe a championship, but I think they could be a conference final team next year. That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely one of the three or four best teams in the Eastern Conference with those two guys healthy. Now, do I think it's good enough to get them to the NBA Finals? I mean, if those guys don't show any ill effects from the injuries, possibly. And when you start talking about championship teams, there's got to be chemistry. There's got to be a lot of things that go the right way. Now, having talent in the NBA goes a long way. But, I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks are a really good team, and I don't see them falling off anytime soon, especially with Giannis being there. So,
are they better than your Sixers next year, you think, Andrew?
Who, the Nets?
Yeah.
I mean, with a healthy Durant, and Kyrie healthy, and Dinwiddie, and maybe. I mean, certainly the version of the Sixers that we've seen this season, I would say the Nets would probably be better. But I don't know. That's a good question. Also, guys, one of the more intriguing elements of the restart was going to be Zion Williamson. He left the team the other day for a family emergency. Here's an update that the team put out earlier today. New Orleans Pelicans forward Zion Williamson, who departed the NBA campus in Orlando last week to attend to an urgent family matter, has been getting tested daily for COVID-19 while away from the team and continues to produce negative results. While there's no current timetable for his return to campus, he fully intends to rejoin the team. Per NBA protocol, his quarantine period will be determined upon his return. Further updates will be provided accordingly. So they say he's coming back, but we don't know when and we don't know how long he'll have to quarantine. I guess the quarantine period can be anywhere between as little as 4 days to as many as 14 days, depending on your reason for being away. I think the 14-day ones are really reserved just for guys who kind of broke quarantine without alerting anybody ahead of time. It's almost like a punishment level quarantine. So we'll have to wait and see. Some good news also, Russell Westbrook, he came back to the Rockets today after a bout with the coronavirus. So he said he was asymptomatic other than a stuffy nose. He should be all good to go.
Now, let me ask you this question, and unfortunately we're going to lose yes in about 40 seconds. So if you can answer quickly, I'd appreciate it. If Zion was out when they made the decision to go with 22 teams, do you think they would have went with less teams?
Me, I say no. I think they still would have done this. I don't necessarily put as much stock as some people do in the idea that this was all for him.
That's pretty big name. I'm sure they wanted to get in there. So it's an interesting question. We're going to say goodbye to Yes. Back with Yes tomorrow at 3 o'clock with Michael Kay with Major League Baseball. So we'll say goodbye to Yes right now. Enjoy. Stay dry. Stay cool. For everybody else on 98.7 ESPN New York, Andrew Gunling continues.
Yeah, and just one more for you here. I'm curious how you'll receive this. I'm putting a disclaimer on this story. This is guesswork. This is not a report or anything concrete, but this is a story in the New York Post that I saw today about a possible lead on a new name for the Washington football team. I'm just going to read to you what they said here in the story. Okay. Story goes, at least Keanu Reeves could end up liking the new nickname of Washington's NFL team. The former Redskins appear to strongly be considering becoming the Washington or DC Sentinels, the team name in Keanu Reeves' 2000 football movie The Replacements, after a Reddit user discovered that the company which manages the website Redskins.com also recently registered for the domain name DCSentinels.com. Coincidentally, the movie, which features Gene Hackman as the head coach, was loosely based on the 1987 Redskins replacement players. So take that for whatever it's worth. That does not, just because they registered that as a website domain name, it does not mean that that is going to be the name of the team. But if it was DC Sentinels, yay or nay, what do you think?
Yeah, the fact the domain name, you'd almost have to do it, right? Because if you've got it like as a finalist, it would really look bad if you couldn't get all the things that you needed in place with the domain name. So they probably did that just as an insurance policy. I like it. I wasn't a fan of the movie. Judas Priest has a great song, The Sentinel. Listen to it out there, everybody. It really is a great song. I'm fine with it. I mean, Red Tails to me seems to make the most sense just from the standpoint of why you were getting rid of Redskins to begin with, and it kind of sticks to the tradition of red in the name. But it sounds cool, Sentinels, right? I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with the Sentinels too. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that you kind of get a feel of what the fan base would like, what would resonate with them, and you roll with it. I think Red Tails, just with the historical context, would be a nice touch, and it allows you to keep the hashtag HTTR and some of the promotional stuff that you've already had in place. But I'm not opposed to Sentinels.
Yeah, there you go. John, you didn't like that movie, huh? Shane Falco? I thought it was pretty good.
Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because Jon Favreau's in the movie. And Jon Favreau, in an interview, said that he was told, when he was first pitched the script, that it was going to be like a semi-tough like movie. Like it was going to be at that level. Like North Dallas 40. It was going to kind of be like an authentic... Yeah, it was going to have some comedy, but it was going to be like a real cool football movie. And the next thing you know, they're dancing in a police cell to, what's the Gloria Gaynor song? I Will Survive.
Yeah.
This is not the movie I signed up for. So I'm a Favreau fan. I feel like he got lied to, and that kind of really like affected the movie wise.
Yeah, you know what? That's understandable. That is ENN for tonight.
I'm sorry.
Great job, Andrew. Great job
that way, but I think we did the right thing.
No, I mean, I say you go a step further. I think RJ should have made the call to the bullpen, and it should have been an RJ vehicle. But we can. This can all be addressed off the air.
No, I think you're just so good at this. You were made to do this, honestly. I know that you people think that I'm tweaking Peter. I think Peter's fabulous at this, but you take it to a different level, man.
That is unbelievably nice. I don't know if I agree. Peter is awesome at BNN. I love his BNNs, but that's very nice of you to say. Thank you.
Can Peter get Wally Pipped with ENN?
No.
Excuse
Anything
me?
Can happen. Anything can happen. Wally Pipped didn't think he'd get Wally Pipped, and guess what? He did.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.